Good morning. How many of you are awake yet? Okay. All right. How many of you don't want to be awake? That's what I figured. All right. So I have a very important question, and I'm going to ask you to be totally, totally honest. How many of you have already ate at the brand new McDonald's down the street? Come on. Raise your hands. Lift it up. Oh, yeah. It's open. You should have seen the line of cars there yesterday. Okay. All right. So nobody? I'm impressed. Okay. All right. Not even Wally ate there yesterday. But he can't wait for church to get over so that he can head down there. You'll be checking this out. That's exactly right. Okay. So if you want to find Wally, just look at the McDonald's down the street. All right. Okay. Well, we are so grateful that you are here with us this morning. If you are a guest, we want to say welcome, and we're so grateful for the fact that you are here this morning. Hopefully, our service will be a blessing to you. And if you came in and you received a welcome packet, inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll take just a moment, fill that out and drop it in the offering plate or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be so helpful to us. Hopefully you also not only received a welcome packet, but everybody who came in received the bulletin. So if you did, let's open it up. Let's kind of see what's going on. As you can see this morning, we're going to be participating together in communion. That means we will also be receiving a benevolent fund, and that is above your regular offering. And so hopefully you'll be able to take part in that. But really, after our morning worship service, we've got a little bit of a reception. I really don't want to do this reception, but we're going to do it anyway. It's for the Larsons, because this is their last Sunday with us. They are moving tomorrow to Florida. Yeah, I know. Let's all groan at the same time. Get it out of our system. Okay, there we go. All right. So we're going to have cake. And so stick around and just be able to let them know how much we're going to miss them and how we really don't want them to go. Right? We really don't want them to go. And so, we're gonna do that. And then Wednesday at 2 p.m. we have our Joy Bible study, and we're going to finish up the book of Revelation, and then we're going to take a break for the summer from our weekly Bible study. So you might want to come and get in on the very tail end of the last chapters of Revelation if you would like. But for those of us who have been part of it, we're going to try to complete it this particular Wednesday. So that's my goal, and we'll hopefully try to meet that. Lots of other announcements in the bulletin. Not going to take the time to go over all of those. Hopefully you received a bulletin. If not, please make sure that you get one. I'm going to ask Robert to come up and to join me, and I'm going to ask the Larsons to come up and join me as well. And
at the beginning of the service?
Yes, we're going to do this at the beginning of the service so I can get it out of the way so that I can deal with my emotions so that I'll be able to preach maybe later. All right. It has been such a joy for me these last 9 years to be your pastor. I have seen both of you grow spiritually, and as a pastor, I couldn't ask for anything more. God has allowed our connection as pastor and parishioners and church leader to just grow more and more as the years went by. And I promised myself I wasn't going to cry, but I don't know if I'm going to hold to that. But we're going to miss you. And you have done so much since I've been here. For Becky and I, you've done so much for our church family in all of the years that you've been here. And we know that God is going to use you as you go on to Florida. And we wish you all the blessings that God's going to share with you and spread your way. Just remember, you can always come home. Okay? You can always come home. And just remember, you're going out as an extension of us. And so what you've done here, I expect that nothing less than you carrying that on in the church that God leads you to down there. So let's have a word of prayer. And then I know Jeremy wants to say some things as well. Did you get a mic?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for just this couple. Lord, they mean so much to me, and they mean so much to us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, but you are leading them in a direction, and Lord, it's been evident as they've been following your will these last few months and weeks that you are leading them. And so, Lord, for that we are grateful. For the fact that they are leaving us, we're not grateful. But Lord, we know that you have a purpose and a plan. You will have a purpose and a plan for them as they make this move to Florida. You'll have a purpose and plan for us as there will be a gap here. But Lord, we trust you, and we know that you're going to continue to provide for us. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them. We pray that you'll give them safety as they travel there. Father, we pray that whatever details remain that need to be put together, that, Lord, you will do that. And Father, I pray that from time to time you'll bring them back to us, that we might be able to renew our connection with them, and Father, be able to enjoy precious time with them. They know they can always come home. And so, Father, we just turn them over to your care. We ask you to continue to bless them as you have blessed them here, that they might be able to bless others as you have used them these past years to be able to bless us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we have a gift for you. We have a card for you. So I'll give it to Lori. There you go. You are very welcome.
I just want to... Oh. Hello? Can anybody hear me?
No.
Nobody can hear me. Oh, now they can hear me. I just want to know how much you all have made a difference in our lives and my lives over the last 10 years. This is very difficult for me. I said I wasn't going to cry. Not going to. There's a lot of people here that I've known for a very long time. We've been here for the last 10 years. This church has changed my life. Pastor Sam has been a father figure for me for the last almost decade now. And this is a very bittersweet thing for us to do. I don't know why we're being called to Florida, but we are, and we're going, and we're going to miss all of you very, very much. And if you're new to this church, you have found a small gem in Boise, and that is all I can say. This is in my opinion, this is a church of Philadelphia, a church of Bereans, and if you don't know what that means, I encourage you, go to Sunday school, go to a Bible study, get to know the elders and the deacons, and sit down, because they truly care about you. They care about preaching the Word of God correctly and accurately and without any falsehoods. And that's a very difficult thing to find these days. So if you're new here, get to know these people. Ask them questions. If you hear something on the stage that Sam says that doesn't sit right with you or you don't understand, ask him. He doesn't bite that much. He will take as much time out of his day to sit down with you and go through the scriptures and explain things to you and teach you and get you to understand what God's word is and what it means correctly and accurately. So I hope, and I think this is a Timothy 2:2 church. This is a church that creates disciples, just like God has commanded. That is our job. So I just want to say a quick prayer for you guys and for Pastor Sam, and then I will give it back over to Jared. Father God, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the opportunities that you have brought us here. And I pray that you would bless this church with wonderful, fantastic, disciple-making men and women, people who love the Word of God and love you and do not want glory for themselves, but want glory for you, because that is our job, is to glorify you, not to glorify ourselves. Father, I pray this church would continue to be a Philadelphia church, a church full of Bereans, full of men and women that study the scriptures diligently and accurately preach the word of God. And I pray that this church would continue to glorify you until you come back for us, because you are coming. You are El Elohim. You are Yahweh God, creator of heaven and earth. And I pray this in the mighty name of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, who is Christ, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. In your name, Father, amen.
Deep breath, everybody, deep breath. As you find your seats, go ahead and sit. We're going to sit for these first couple songs. We're going to refocus. I know we love you guys so much. We're going to miss you. But we came here today for Jesus Christ. He is greater than Jeremy. He's greater than Lori. He's greater than me and Pastor Sam. He is greater. We are here for him. So in Christ alone, our hope is found. He is our light, our strength, and our song. So would you sing with me? In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost his grip on me, for I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, our blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you. God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, our blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, the Lord of all, the Lord of all. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our propitiation, to be Messiah. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done through him for us. Lord, we truly say that our hope is found in Christ alone for what he's done for us. We love you. We praise you. We're here for you. And God, as we worship you, as we praise your holy name today, we praise your mighty name today, we know that you are able to work all things together for the good, for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So, Lord, today we know that you're fighting for us. Today we know you're preparing a road in advance for us. with good things that you've prepared beforehand so that we can walk in them. We know that we can trust you. You're a trustworthy and true, faithful, generous, kind, and loving. And so, Lord, we worship you today and you alone. We worship you alone. You called us out from the depths into your freedom. Our chains are gone. No weapon formed shall prevail. Your word is stronger. We overcome. I got a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Your glory resounds through the age. All saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. I got a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, our strong defender. Above you there's no other. Above you there's no other. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, a strong defender. Above you there's no other. 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 I got a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. We triumph in your name. I wanna be close, close to your side. So heaven is real and death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty, the great I am. I want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world, hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am. Who is worthy? None. one beside thee, God Almighty, great I am. The mountains shake before you, the demons run and flee. At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. Great I am, great I am, the great. God Almighty, great I am, great I am. You are loved by God, the great I am. The creator of heavens and earth, the one who has made a place for you in glory. You are loved by him. As we prepare to take this morning's offering, I want you to remember the great I am loves you. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. One who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love, now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Whoa. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Is resurrecting me.
tombless soldiers watched in vain was followed for 3 days. His body that would not remain. Our God has wrought the grave.
Our God has robbed the Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Yeah. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Is resurrecting me.
I'm surprised, Dave, you didn't lead us in that. That's all right. We'll spend some time with that in just a little while. Too bad the kids aren't here. They might be able to sing that, right? Some of you big kids might be able to sing it when we get to that point. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. All right. Let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful for the fact that we could sing about your name. And oh, what a name it is. Father, your name needs to be precious to us. Father, your name needs to be powerful to us. Father, your name tells us about your presence. Your name tells us about your character. Your name tells us about your work. Your name tells us about your promises. And Father, your name tells us about your provision, especially when it comes to providing for us salvation from our sin. Father, we are so grateful that we can speak your name. We are so grateful that we can hear your name. We are so grateful that we can sing your name. We are so grateful we can praise your name. And Father, we are so grateful that if we believe in Jesus as Savior, we bear your name. So Father, I pray with all of that in mind, our hearts and our ears and our minds and our lives will be open to what it is you want to tell us about your name this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20. So how important is a name? Well, years ago in Idaho, one of the major banks came into some serious financial problems. The officials met and decided their situation demanded that they reorganize. They selected a successful farmer in the area to be their new president. When they approached him about their decision to make him president of the bank, he was absolutely speechless. After they left him, he thought, "Why have they selected me to be the president?" He then came to this conclusion. "This bank is having some serious financial problems, and evidently, they think I have an abundance of money and I can bail them out." So he met with them again and told them, "Gentlemen, I appreciate the offer of this position, but I am not as wealthy as you may think." The board saw the confusion on his face and told him, "The reason we selected you to be president is because you have something that is worth more than money. You have a good name." God has a good name. You know, some names are so well known they've become linked with a product. For instance, most of us don't look for a tissue when we cry, like at the beginning of our service this morning. We reach for a Kleenex. When we need information about something, we Google it. Band-Aids and scotch tape are examples of this as well. In fact, companies know the importance of their name by putting trademarks on it so no one can use it in a wrong way. Now, we've already looked at the second one of the Ten Commandments, and the second commandment addresses wrong worship of God. Now this morning we're coming to the third commandment, and this third commandment addresses wrong words about God. Now some may think that this command is easy to keep because we don't cuss or curse, at least out loud. Some of us might think as long as we don't use God's name as a swear word, we're still okay, right? Well, let me remind you, most of us often fail at this instruction. Now, this command is short, but it is quite convicting. Hopefully by now you found Exodus chapter 20. Follow along as I read verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, for a few moments, I want us to look at this verse, verse 7, and go phrase by phrase so that we can learn how to reverence God's name. From time to time, as we've been studying often on some of the books of the Old Testament, we come to the word fear in the Old Testament. And that word fear isn't the scary roller coaster fear or the scary, I watched a horror movie and I don't know what's going to happen next and all of a sudden here comes the monster. That's not that kind of fear that it's talking about. When in the Old Testament we read the word fear, it most often refers to reverence. Reverence for God. And I've explained it several times, and I'm going to explain it again. Reverence means we keep God in his proper place. We do not bring him down to things that are common. In relationship to this verse, that means we do not take God's name and drag it through the filth of the world. Now, I just summed up exactly the whole point of most of the sermon this morning. So we could just say, okay, let's go on our merry way, but we're not going to do that because I think there's more that God wants us to be able to learn about this. So, phrase by phrase, you shall not take. Like the first two commands, this one also begins with a strong negative. Absolutely do not do this. Now, the word take means to lift, to carry, to take up, bear, and to raise. We're not to what? We're not to take the name. In the surrounding cultures of Israel, knowing the name of a god, little g, gave one access and influence. Even more so, knowing the name of the one creator God gave his people the privilege of access to him. Now, in the Bible, a name was not only an identification, but it was an actual identity. It represented one's character and reputation. A name stood for the nature of someone. When a child was born, back in Bible days, a name was not given to them right away. The parents or those who were responsible for their care would often wait until there was this developing process, and as this developing process began to allow their character to be able to come out and to be exhibited, then they would have a name given to them based upon their character. God's name represents the totality of who he is and what he does. Let me repeat that. God's name represents the totality of who he is and what he does. And this morning, we've been singing his praises about his name. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God. If we look back at verse 2, where we see God declaring who he is, I am the Lord your God. And then in verse 5, for I, the Lord your God. The first name of God here in verse 7 is Yahweh. And it means, as Jared reminded us this morning, I am. It actually means I am who I am. The first name of God in verse 7 is Yahweh. The second name is Elohim, which means mighty one and refers to the sovereign and faithful God. God desires for us to call him by name and then to find shelter in that name. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We can run into the name of God. Now, there are at least 300 different self-revealed revealed names of God. I'm not going to go over all of them this morning. So don't worry, you won't miss lunch. Some that come to mind, though, are Adonai, Elohim, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, and Jehovah Jireh. This verse goes on to say, in vain. We are not to take the name of the Lord, our God, in vain. The word vain means empty, insincere, useless, wasted, with a worthless purpose. It refers to being empty of content or void. We take God's name in vain when we use it in a frivolous, casual, or careless way. Literally, it means you shall not lift up the name of the Lord your God for nothingness. I like that. God wants us to know how serious he is about his name. So this commandment affects our lives and our lips. Now, remember, we're not looking at these Ten Commandments to be able to make sure that we have salvation. Salvation doesn't come by knowing these Ten Commandments, following these Ten Commandments. Our salvation comes by believing in Jesus as Savior, that and that alone. What we are trying to do as we study these commandments individually is to be able to understand how strong or not strong our fellowship with God is, or our discipleship for him is. That's the purpose. Now, I have two questions that I want us to look at a little bit deeper this morning. But before that, I want to say something, and I want to try to be as sincere and as serious as I can. As I was doing research for this, I read a lot of commentaries. I even listened and read some sermons by other preachers. And let me tell you something, in a lot of the commentaries and a lot of the sermons that I did in my research, I was greatly disappointed. Because some of these commentators, some of these preachers used very specific words. Words that Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 tells us we should not even use. We should not even speak. Those names should not be in our hearts. They should not be in our minds. They should not be in our lives. But yet, here they are projecting them out. And I'm thinking, I don't understand this. That seemed like a very sad and foreign thing for me. So I prayed and I said, God, how do you want me to be able to handle this? How do you and your Holy Spirit want me to be able to take care of this? And I believe God brought me an answer. And the answer is this. I am speaking this morning to very highly intelligent people. All of you gathered in this room are intelligent. You have wisdom. You have discernment. You have smarts. You have the ability to be able to take something that is phrased in such a way that may not be specific and know how specific to be able to make that. Second, I'm not the Holy Spirit. God has a Holy Spirit, and I ain't it. And his Holy Spirit does a far better job than I do. There have been times in my life, there have been times in my ministry where I've tried to be the Holy Spirit, and it didn't go very well. And this isn't going to be one of them. So I'm not going to give you a list of words. I'm not going to give you language, by and large, to be able to say, this is what you should say, this is what you shouldn't say. You are all smart enough to be able to take what it is that I believe God is going to give us this morning and to be able to apply it through his Holy Spirit in the areas in your life to where it needs to be applied. Does that make sense? So I'm not going to be telling you, don't say this. in a lot of cases. There will be a couple where I will address some things a little bit specifically. So this commandment affects our lives and our lips. So first, let's look how it affects our lives. So I have a question. How do you live? Because it's possible for God's name to be taken in vain, even when his name is not uttered verbally. Living as a hypocrite breaches this third commandment and gives God's name a bad reputation. We profane the name of God when our life does not reflect the character of God. We can misuse the name of God by speaking hallowed words while living hollow lives. We can misuse the name of God by speaking hallowed words while living hollow lives. When we preach a moral code that we ourselves do not live up to, we become a people who honor God with our lips, but whose hearts are far from him. When a soldier of Alexander the Great deserted his post in battle, Alexander asked for the soldier's name. The soldier stuttered in fear, "Alexander, my general," to which Alexander the Great said, "You have three choices: fight, get out of the army, or change your name." We are to be the keepers of God's reputation in our community, in our workplace, in our families, and in our church. How do we do that? By the way that we live. Let's be careful to live a life that honors God and not live in the ways of the world. So that brings us to the next point. How do you talk? So as I've already mentioned, when we were children or when we were raising our children or maybe even our grandchildren, there's a song that I think they used to sing or we used to sing. And part of that song is, "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say." That's the tune that Dave was playing on the guitar. "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say." I mean, the song also talks about our eyes and our hands, and our, but you get the idea, right? So how can we be careful? What are the things that we need to be when it comes to our speech, when it comes to our language, when it comes to our talk? What are the things we need to be careful about? Well, first, I think, be careful not to blaspheme. Now, blasphemy is to speak with contempt about God or to be defiantly irreverent. Blasphemy is a verbal or written reproach of God's name, character, work, or attributes. And in the Old Testament, the punishment for blasphemy was severe. It was being stoned to death. Aren't you glad we're under grace, not law? Secondly, be careful not to curse. Now, a curse is an expressed wish that some form of adversity or misfortune will fall on or find its way to one or more persons, places, or object. What a dreadful thing it is to take the most sacred name we could ever utter and use it to curse someone or something. A man has a flat tire, and he curses the tire. A woman stumbles over a chair in the dark and curses the chair. God's name is not an exclamation point for our expressions. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and you might say, "But Pastor, I don't mean anything by my profanity when I use the name of God or Jesus." That's exactly what's wrong with it, because this kind of speech empties God's name of meaning, which is the very definition of taking it in vain. Ever had something happen and you curse that thing with God's name? We can sum up this third commandment this way: you shall not use the name of the Lord without meaning something good by it. But how often do we do just the opposite? Next, be careful not to cuss. Now, to cuss means to use an obscene or profane word, either towards God or against those who are made in the image of God. Now, let me tell you something about profanity. Profanity is the most useless sin a person can commit. Every sin that someone may commit, they get something for that sin. But when someone uses profanity, the only thing they accomplish is a display of not being able to express themselves in a proper way. Sometimes we want to show how intelligent or how hip or how all together we are when we use profanity. You realize, right, that using profanity displays just the opposite. It really shows how ignorant and unintelligent and how non-hip we really are. In this day, when people are, studies show that we have more profanity and foul language today than any society that has ever existed. America has become known for her use of profanity more so than in any other country today. And in this day when people use profanity and are misusing God's name so freely, a person's language will tell you the kind of person they are. They can pretend to be all kinds of things, but their tongue will give them away every time. I have a cousin. She's very precious to me. In fact, she is probably in the top five list of my favorite cousins. But my cousin cannot say two sentences together without adding a whole string of profanity. She's done it all of her life. And she tries to do that, trying to think that you will be impressed with her. She hasn't come to realize, and she's much older than I am. I'm not going to mention her name in case she's listening. I doubt it, but just in case. She's much older than I am. And she isn't impressing anybody. That's the sad part. She does it because she thinks you will be impressed, when in all reality, it's really not something to be impressed about. They can pretend to be all kinds of things, but their language will give them away every time. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 tells us to pay attention to what comes out of our mouths. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. When you use profanity, is it bringing grace to those who hear it? Now, you might say, okay, so I understand this, Pastor. So when there's other people around, I don't use profanity. So nobody can be offended. What about God? Is God everywhere? Does God know everything? Does God hear everything? Does God see everything? Yeah. What about when you use profanity? What about when you take God's name in vain? What about when you use God's name to blaspheme or to curse? Do you think that's building God up? Next, be careful not to use irreverent phrases. God is not the man upstairs, the big guy in heaven, JC, or just someone who must be watching over us. Expressions like good Lord or oh my God are often used carelessly. Suppose you have never seen a rose in your entire life. And then I show you a rose for the first time. However, when I show you the first rose you ever saw, I call it by another name. Let's say I call it by a tulip. So the next time you see a rose, you say, look, what a beautiful tulip. And you may go your whole life thinking that a rose is a tulip. When we take God's name and use it improperly, someone may go their entire life thinking that God isn't anything special. That's the power of our words. And when we do that, we are not reverencing God. We are bringing him down to that which is common. When we are using our language to bring God's name through the filth of this world, we are not reverencing the mighty, awesome, precious name of God. Be careful not to use inappropriate abbreviations. OMG is a shortened way to take God's name in vain. Whether speaking this or using this in our text or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, we must be careful not to use any abbreviation which profanes God's name. Can we change? Yes, we can. We talked last week about how, and some of you have told me over and over again how much last week's sermon spoke to you about the fact that you can break the cycle of sin so that it doesn't have to affect your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren or whatever the case may be. You can do that. Guess what? You can change your language. You can change how it is that you speak when you're around others or when you're not. I told you a little bit about my background, told you a little bit about my life's adventures, so to speak. I told you a little bit about history, and really my history is his story, not mine. I think I made it clear. If I didn't, I'll make it clear again. I'm where I'm at today. I'm the person that I am today because of what God has done in me. Not because of my environment. Not because of my family heritage. Thank goodness for that. But because of God. You can change. I grew up not only in a family, immediate and extended, of alcoholics. I grew up in a family, immediate and extended, that used profanity at the drop of a hat. I was around it all of my life. I think a couple of weeks ago I talked about the fact that I grew up in bars. I could go to any bar in my hometown. I could go to any service club in my hometown, which basically to me was nothing more than a bar. And I could get in and I would hear profanity the whole time I was there. We would have family get-togethers. I would hear profanity. My dad was a sailor. My grandpa was in World War I. They knew how to use profanity. My mother could outswear my dad. Some of my aunts and uncles could outswear each other, and I think sometimes they used to have contests to see who could use the most profanity. I already told you about my cousin. Her parents' language rubbed off on her. Some of you say, that's the same way my family is, Pastor. So therefore, it just comes natural for me to be able to use that kind of language. No, it doesn't. You might say, Pastor, you don't know the things that are said in my workplace. You don't know how rough the people is when they talk at the place that I work. And I'm surrounded by it all of the time. So it just kind of becomes a part of me. It doesn't have to. I learned a long time ago that using this kind of language is not really a good thing. It really doesn't have to be a part of your life. And I try very, very hard not to use this kind of language. Now, hopefully, if you go ask my kids after the service if they ever heard their dad swear, they will say, not a lot, if at all. Or you go ask my wife, have you ever heard Pastor swear? She will say, not very much. I've made a conscious decision before the Lord that I am not going to do anything with my speech that is going to dishonor his name. Now you might say, why, Pastor, did you make that decision? This is why I made that decision. He went to the cross for me. His body was broken. His blood was shed for me. I didn't ask him to do that. I didn't deserve for him to do that. He did that because he loved me. And if I really love him, I'm going to love him because of what it is that he has done for me, by not in any way disgracing his name. You see, I can't swear. I can't use profanity. And then in the next breath or two or three, proclaim him as my Savior. It just, for me, doesn't ring true. It just, for me, doesn't fit. How else can we change? We can hallow his name. Remember when Jesus taught his disciples to pray? The very first phrase is focused on the Father's holy name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed means, may your name be kept holy. May your name be kept holy. In the way that I live, in the way that I talk. Also, watch what you watch and be careful what you listen to. Now, I know that if you're in a family situation and there are others in your family that are using profanity, or you're in a work situation and people in the workplace are using profanity, I know that it's kind of hard to separate yourself at some of those times from that. But what about the movies we choose to listen to or to watch? What about the television programs we choose to watch? What about the things that we choose to listen to? What about the things on the internet we choose to look at or to read? I already told you that in research for this sermon, I was highly disturbed by some of the things that I read and some of the things that I heard. Watch what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Another way is, don't be a complainer. Complaining is an assault on God and an attack on his name. Now, while many believers don't cuss, they sure do complain. Our profane and unholy words are linked to our unholy hearts. It's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, these words of Jesus, where he says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, false witness, what it is that we speak, slander, what it is that we speak. You know, someone once said that what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. That'd be true of the way we live our lives. That'd be true of the language that we choose to use. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So when I believe in Jesus as Savior, that's how I become in Christ, by believing in Jesus as Savior. That's how I become a new creation. And if the old has passed away, that means the old language, as well as the old life, has gone away. And the new has come. There needs to be a new language. You know, let's make Psalm 86:11 our words to live by. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear, that word reverence, your name. A lot of people, believers and non-believers, take God's name in vain. And then they say, I didn't mean it. It's all in fun. You know what? There's just some things that are too sacred to treat lightly. And the name of God, the name of Jesus, fits into that. So to prepare ourselves for communion, let me just leave you a couple thoughts. We need to reverence the name of God and the name of Jesus because what they have done for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 said, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The name of Jesus is important because his name reminds us of God's salvation provided by what Jesus did on the cross, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If we are saved because that name represents and reminds us of what the price was that Jesus paid for our sins, why would we want to drag it through the filth of this world? Jesus paid the price that God required for our sins by dying on the cross, and then showed God's power by rising from the dead 3 days later. As we get ready to participate together in communion, let me remind you that you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church to join us in communion. You just have to believe in Jesus as Savior. And as we participate together in communion, let's use this time to reverence his name. But not this time only, but the rest of our lives, starting from this moment on. I'm going to have the men come and join me at the table.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
Let's remember Jesus.
I will not boast in Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? Deep breath. Deep breath. Breathe. God loves you. The great I am loves you and has given you a name. We are who he says we are.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. I'm a child of God, yes I am.